Welcome to the Relationship Anxiety Podcast. I'm your host, Mikkel, and today we are talking about who you are. Hello, my friends. What's up? Welcome to the podcast today. Today we are talking about who you are, your identity, who you see yourself as, and who you actually are. And I think this episode is very important to listen to because who you are, who you see yourself as, I believe often is the root and what can fuel so much of our relationship anxiety, our OCD patterns. So we're going to talk about this in context that might not seem specific to relationship at first, but I promise it is. So you want to give this episode a listen. Now, I want to distinguish two things first, which is there is who you think you are versus who you actually are. What your brain or mind perceives you as versus truly your core essence of who you are. And what your brain thinks about who you are, your mind, or often people refer to it as ego, which is basically just this idea we create, this like false concept of who we are. And most of the time as human beings, we operate in that ego realm. Our brain is always kind of trying to make meaning of who we are, what we do. It's always very constantly our brains are thinking about ourselves, right? They've done studies on how frequently we say I and me, and our ego is very concerned with ourselves as human beings and who we are and constantly trying to figure out and identify who we are. And anything that is ego-based, what our brain thinks we are versus what we actually are, is going to be fleeting. It's going to be temporary. And because of that temporary nature, that kind of groundlessness, it can be a source of fear. Anything we're identifying ourselves as that is fleeting, that is temporary, creates and is a source of fear for us. So let's kind of talk through this of how we identify ourselves, who we are. And if you ask someone who they are, there are some common things that they will tell you about who they are. And we're going to talk about it. So first thing someone might say is they might tell you, if you ask who they are, is they might tell you their career. They might say, I am an accountant. I am a nurse. I am a teacher. That thing that they do from 8 to 5 to provide financial living for themselves. But our careers are something that can change. It's not constantly who we are. And when you identify yourself with your career, there can be fear there because you could possibly lose your job. You could possibly not have that career long term. Maybe you don't want to be an accountant. Maybe you want to be a nurse. Your career could change. You could become not as good at your career. One day you could retire, right? People have these crises when they retire, particularly men, because that career was kind of all that they were wrapped up in and who they were. And then afterwards it becomes this like, wait, well, now who am I? That job was me. And I think we could see this so clearly when we look at, I've read several stories in the news about athletes who their career becomes not as successful. They all of a sudden went from the top pick, very desirable athlete, to they're not getting put on the field anymore. They're not playing. And then go act out, go do something that is out of line with their character and end up in jail or, you know, whatever. It's all in the news headlines. Correlated with the time that their career starts tanking. Coincidence? Or even thinking about someone who maybe might identify, you know, like we also see this same thing happen with actresses, movie stars, right? When we identify ourselves with our career, if it changes, now all of a sudden there can be this groundlessness of who am I and can cause us to act out. Same thing can happen with the stage of life we're in. Many of us, if you ask who someone is, might say, well, I'm a high school student, or I'm in college, or I am a mom, or I'm retired. We might identify ourselves by what phase of life we're in. We might identify ourselves as young or as old. But this can also create an identity problem because our age is constantly changing, right? We're always getting older. And I think when we identify ourselves as someone who's young and maybe 16, whatever, and then that changes, now all of a sudden it's like, wait, well, who am I now? I'm not that 16-year-old anymore. I'm 26. I think this can be some of the anxiety we sometimes experience with going into commitment in relationships, because all of a sudden we might have this realization of, wait, I still kind of identify myself a little bit as this single college student, and here I am getting engaged and graduating. I'm not this young college student anymore. And if that is how you've identified yourself, now all of a sudden our brain's like, oh, crap, who am I? Wait, I'm married. I'm getting married. I'm graduating. No. This isn't right. That's not who I am. There's that disconnect. And some people are able to transition to a new identity. But for some of us, like if that's really how you've identified yourself, there can be a lot of fear and grief that comes up there. Another way we might identify ourselves is with our bodies, how we look, our beauty or lack thereof, how people perceive our bodies, how we perceive our bodies. I talked a lot about this in the body objectification. If you haven't listened to that one, the objectification podcast, that's a good one to go listen to on this. But we might identify ourselves as being blonde, brunette, or again, being beautiful or unattractive. We might see our body in a certain way. But looks are something that change. Our body changes. If we really identify ourselves as thin and then we gain weight, now all of a sudden we can have a lot of fear and an identity crisis because that wasn't how we saw ourselves. That wasn't who we identified as. Or if you identify yourself as pretty, and then all of a sudden there's someone else in the room who we perceive as prettier, now we might have this fear of like, oh shoot, well, what is my value now? Now who am I? Because this other person is more attractive than me. This can often be why with relationship anxiety, we really struggle with, does my partner find me attractive? If we value ourselves, if we identify as beautiful and we think that is the value I'm bringing to the relationship, that is why they want me, then having moments of other people being prettier or even aging, having the way you look change can create fear because now it's like, who am I? I thought I was this beautiful girl, but maybe I'm not. Or I thought I was thin, but maybe I'm not. Or whatever the thing is. And similarly, we can do the same thing to our partner. if you identify with your body and people thinking you're attractive and that's who you are, we also will put a lot of weight on our partner because we see our partner as an extension of ourselves. How people are perceiving your partner is how it feels like they're perceiving you. So now, not only do we need to maintain this identity of being beautiful, but we need our partner to do the same. We need them to be perfectly attractive as well. We might hyperanalyze their appearance. Or you might even just identify with how your partner looks and their attractiveness or lack thereof, which also is something that can change. When people ask, who are you? You might identify yourself by your personality. I'm smart. I'm outgoing. I'm fun. I'm easygoing. I'm anxious a little bit. Actually, we'll get into that one a little bit. But we might identify ourselves by certain personality traits, that's who we are. But again, this is something that can change. If you have identified yourself as someone who's outgoing, in the future, you may be a little bit less. I know that's been the case for me. Or, you know, someone who's cool, there might always be someone else who seems cooler than us. Or we might frantically fight to maintain this identity. That was something I realized for me was I tried really, really hard to, like, I identify myself as someone who a lot of people like. That was how I saw myself. And so I would try very hard to be very social and talk to lots of people and make sure that everybody liked me. I fought so hard to maintain that because that was who I identified as. So if you identify with an aspect of your personality and you think that's who you are, it can create a lot of fear because you're going to frantically fight to maintain and keep that and make sure that is how you are perceived and other people see you. Or you might freak out when your partner doesn't fit that box 100%. If you like to think about and perceive yourself as this cool person that's super sociable, but then your partner says this awkward thing, now it's like, oh, crap, my identity, who I saw myself as, is in question because my partner's an extension of me and he's saying this weird thing. So am I actually cool anymore, or am I actually outgoing because he's being kind of shy? Or someone else might have more of those personality traits than you. Someone else could be smarter, kinder, more easygoing. Or their partner might be more of that. So this is another area. If you identify yourself this way, there's room for a lot of fear. Many of us identify ourselves by our relationship. We identify ourselves by our relationship status, the fact that we're single, we're married, dating, engaged. You look at so many, especially women's Instagram profiles, and you see wife of, married to, mother of, and you have the name of the kids. And I think that's so interesting. Because in our little bio, it's like, here's our 2 cents about us. Here's how people identify me. Here's how you should see me. We identify ourselves by in relation to other people. In relation to who we are to the other people. So you're a mom. And if that's how you identify as, that can be something where fear can come in because maybe you're a mom raising young kids and then those kids grow up. And now all of a sudden our brain says, well, who am I now? Now, this is something my mom really went through when all of us left the home, all of the kids. It's like, wait, well, now what? Now who am I? Many moms go through that because they have identified themselves as this caretaker for their children, and they no longer are needed to play that same role in their lives. We may identify ourselves based on our romantic relationships. And I think this is one of the biggest reasons so much anxiety can come in here, because we start seeing ourselves as, and we start identifying ourselves in relation to that other person. I'm their girlfriend, boyfriend, spouse. And we might identify ourselves in that relationship so much that we lose ourselves in it, that maybe we don't allow ourselves to do the things that bring us joy, allow ourselves to find hobbies and activities and other relationships that we enjoy, because this one relationship our whole identity gets wrapped up in. Especially those of you, I know avoidance, you hear that and you're like, no, I don't want that. But those of you who are anxious, those of you who worry a lot, those of you who have a more anxious attachment style, I should say, you worry a lot about that person not loving you. Those of you who question that likely get very wrapped up in your whole identity being that person, that they are who you see yourself as. And we cling very tightly to the relationship when we're in an anxious attachment mode. We can't let them go. We need to spend time with them all the time. We don't let ourselves have outside things because that person has become our identity. And I think also when we identify with our relationship, we can have a lot of fear of it ending, because that's who we're seeing ourselves as. That's our identity. What happens if that's gone? We're going to have fear whenever there's that sense of, oh no, I could lose this. Any of these identities that we're talking about here. If you identify with your relationship and there's that unknown, if we don't know exactly how the future plays out, there's going to be fear there. And I want you even to take a breath with that and just hearing that, the unknown of the future. So at this point, you might be wondering, well, who am I then? Because I thought all these things were who I am, and I get it. This is what our ego does. This is what our brain does, is it tries so hard to create an identity and mental picture of who we are. And again, this is not bad. This is just how our brains operate. But know whenever that's who you become too hooked up in identifying as, there's going to be that fear there. We're going to talk about a few more and then we'll get to it. You might identify with your thoughts. You might think, well, what I think is who I am. How I think, that's who I am. But the very nature of our thoughts is so fleeting and changing. So you might like to identify yourself as someone who has lots of positive thoughts. But guess what? We also have negative thoughts too. And in some phases of our life, we might have more positive thoughts, and other phases we might have more negative. And then we have just like random thoughts, and then we have dreams. What the heck those are even about? They're so random. Our thoughts are all over the place. So our identity would constantly be changing every moment because our thoughts continuously change. The very nature of thoughts is fleeting. So we might think you are your thoughts, but you are not. Even just the fact that you can watch your thoughts, you can see your thoughts, shows that it's not who you are. Anything that you can observe or see or watch is not you. So often if you identify as your thoughts, if you hear sentences in your brain and you're like, oh my gosh, that's who I am, you're going to be a lot more inclined to experience OCD tendencies. Because when you have a doubt come in your brain, you have a negative thought, you're going to be like, uh-oh, that thought's bad, that's wrong, that's not okay, I don't want to be that person, I don't want to be someone who doesn't love their partner, I don't want to be someone who cheats on their partner, I don't want to be any of those things. And if you think that you are your thoughts, you will frantically try to get rid of that thought. You will obsess over it and fuel a cycle of even more doubts and thoughts. And if that's where you are, know that is still not who you are. Thoughts are literally just sentences in your head. Thoughts are like a book that you're reading. You are not the book. You are the person reading the book. You are not sentences on a page. You are the person reading and writing them. You also are not your emotions. Many of us identify with certain emotions. We think I'm a happy person or an anxious person or a sad person. And when we identify with these emotions, we start to get stuck in them and experience them more. As well as what can happen is we freak out whenever we're not feeling an emotion that aligns with our identity. So if you see yourself as a happy person and then all of a sudden you're feeling anxiety or sadness, you might freak out because you're like, oh no, I can't feel this. I'm a happy person. It's why we freak out when we feel uncomfortable feelings in our relationships sometimes, because we think that the emotions are who we are or who the relationship is. They are not. Emotions, just like thoughts, are temporary. We go in and out of different feelings. We can experience them. It's like food, we can taste them, but your feelings are not who you are. You are not happy, you are not anxious, you are not sad. You feel those things, you experience them, and they're very real, but it is not who you are. Now, we could go on and on about things that our brains identify as. The actions we take, the things we have, there are so many ways our mind tries so hard to create an identity of who we are. But who you are is so much more and bigger than the temporary things you experience. It is so much more than these earthly labels that we give ourselves. Whenever we give ourselves that label of something that is not eternal, that's where fear starts to come in. We define ourselves by our human experience, what you do, what you think, who you relate to, what you feel, how you look. But you are not just a human being having an earthly experience. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. You are an eternal, immortal being. You are beloved child of God. You, at your core, are loving and lovable and worthy and whole. It is just a part of who you are. Your very existence, your being, without creating any labels, without doing anything to earn or make meaning, it is just you. At your very core, your spirit is so much more and so much bigger than the labels that our brain likes to put on us. It's something eternal that lasts forever. It's this quote that by Miriam Williamson that I think so beautifully describes it. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us most. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. That it's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we subconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And I think of this looking at my little baby and how she has no really like labels for herself. Like she doesn't see herself as a baby. She doesn't see herself as social or shy or anything like that. Like she just is herself. She just is worthy and lovable. And that is how every single one of us came to this earth, and that is who we all are. We are lovable, we are worthy, we are whole. And then we have experiences here that teach us and give us labels and an identity, and that's who we start seeing ourselves as. It's how we start perceiving our relationship. And then we fight so hard to cling to that and fight for those identities and fight off the ones we don't want, when truly who we are is so much bigger than that. And as you can see yourself as more than just your brain and your body and more than your thoughts and more than how other people see you, you will feel no fear. All right. Thanks so much for tuning in today, you guys. Have a beautiful week. We'll talk next week. Bye.